Joining us from St. Peter's Fly Shop is Vince Herrera. Good morning, Vince.
Hey, Terry. How's it going?
It's going good. What a beautiful day. I know you're up here in Fort Collins with me, and it couldn't be more gorgeous, could it?
Oh, it's nice, man. We got really good temperatures, sun's out, and everything looks really good today.
It's hard to be in the studio and not on the water right now. I tell you what, it's gorgeous. I want to talk about a few things with you. I want to talk about the state of the runoff and maybe the Pooter in particular. And then I want to talk about fishing it that way and then maybe some alternatives, other rivers and maybe some still water. But let's talk about what do you see going on? Is there a lot of snow up there? Is it starting to come down? What are you seeing for runoff in the Pooter right now?
Yeah, everything. Last week we saw our first big push of water, so it's been about a week now since we've been seeing the river flowing at around about 1,200 CFS, so everything's starting to get a move on. I was actually talking to a gentleman who is still skiing up there on Cameron's Pass, so he said there's a good amount of snow up there, and I mean, even before that, we kind of knew that our snowpack was decent this year, so hopefully we'll have a good month or a month and a half of some water coming down, as long as we don't get up into some super high temperatures. But we could also use a little bit of extra moisture. But so far everything's moving along. We got high water flows. We're getting ready to start kind of moving into that high water season. We're starting to make adjustments to our rigs, to the flies we're using and everything. But yeah.
Do you think the runoff maybe is just a little later than normal? And to me, it seems like the flows all of a sudden are coming up in the Pooter. Usually they start coming up a little sooner. Or is that just my thought process?
You're right. It's usually pretty gradual. I remember, a couple of years ago, it would start usually in like early May like this, but it wouldn't usually get this high that quick. So for it to happen kind of overnight like that, that was a big kind of surprise to us. But yeah, I mean, usually by now that we're getting towards the end of May, yeah, this is kind of usual, and we're starting to see some of that higher stuff because we work closer to June, you know.
Are you still fishing the Pooter, or is there too much water coming down?
Oh yeah, I'm still fishing it. I think a lot of people are still fishing it too, and it sometimes can look pretty intimidating out there. You get to the water and it's up on the bank and it's in the willows and everything, but that makes for good holding water for fish. So now that we're getting to the warmer part of the year, we don't wear waders anymore. Sometimes you don't even have to get into the water just because the fish are right up there on the bank where it's real slow and you get all that slack water. So yeah, we're still fishing it. It looks blown out, but there's still fish out there to be caught even despite the fire that happened a couple of years ago.
Now you're talking, yeah, because you have some discoloration not only from the normal mud that a rising river brings you, but you have some ash still going in there. Right. Are you fishing up and down the river, or are you having to fish certain areas?
You know, that lower section of the canyon has a little bit more fish. I think after the Cameron Peak fire and we had a mudslide last year, there's a little less fish in that middle section of the canyon. The higher section of the canyon is still pretty good as well. So a lot of people have been kind of fishing that lower area. You know, you have the North Fork of the Pooter that comes in too, and so we've been fishing that as well, and that's unaffected, so that's doing really good. So a lot of people have been sticking pretty low in the canyon, and that's where kind of you see some of those numbers still around.
Now, if people think, oh my, the water's discolored, the fish aren't going to bite or feed, well, the fish continue to eat. They just have to try to get out of the current a little bit, and they have to make sure they can see your presentation. What kind of approach do you take when you're fishing? What kind of flies, what kind of rig do you use when you're fishing this time of the year on the Pooter?
Right now I've been making the switch to really big flies. So when the water's up and moving fast and off color like that, these fish only have so long to make a decision on the food they're going to eat. So they're looking for characteristics in their food that are big and stuff that they could see easily and make out right away. So now, whereas 2 weeks ago I was fishing size 18 and 20 blueing olive nymphs, the water is really high and dirty right now, so I've been switching it over to hopper dropper rigs with big PMXs and chubby Chernobyls up top, like a size 12, and I'm just going to keep getting bigger. And then underneath that, I'll run something like a patch rubber legs, or we have the 20 bomb over here. That's a really, really good fly that kind of creates that shadow of legs and a big body really quick. So I've been, if I'm not using something big like a stonefly like that, I've been kind of going with something flashy too. So the pooter is loaded with tons of caddis larvae, and there's this this pattern we call the ticket that we use, and it's really flashy. It's bright green, and it's able, those fish are able to see that really quick. So I'm now just starting to kind of run those hopper dropper rigs right there along the bank in that slower water where those fish are kind of hanging out. And so, yeah, that's kind of my favorite time of year to go out there and fish, just because it's easy to access, and you could seriously put on one rig and just pound the banks all day and be able to find fish. So it's pretty fun.
And when you're saying hopper dropper, you're not specifically using a hopper. You're using a big terrestrial or a big attractor type fly on top, and then a dropper underneath it, right?
Yeah, correct. So, I mean, I like the Chubby Chernobyl. The PMX is a really good stonefly imitation. So we have tons of golden stones and squalas on the pooter. So even a couple of weeks ago, we were seeing squalas moving around up there. So I've been using those PMXs for squala imitations. So yeah, stimulators are really good stonefly imitations. Pretty soon, probably in about a couple more days even, the hopper fishing gets really good on the Poudre River too. And so it's hard to walk to the river without hearing them in the grass and all over the place. You can hear them jumping when you're setting up your rig at your car. So yeah, the grasshopper fishing is really going to get good soon.
I love hopper dropper season, because at my age, I can make a cast. It's okay if it splashes down, because that's how hoppers hit the water anyway.
Right,
and with my old eyes, I can see where it's at. So that's one of my favorites. I'll fish those for so much of the summer. I love that.
Yeah.
I want to make a quick comment to what you said about, you know, this is a good time of the year, and especially on rivers like the Poudre, for especially inexperienced, but for anybody, you made a comment, you don't need to get in the water. Leave your waders at home, because you take one misstep in that off-color water and the current can grab you. And like you've been saying the whole time, the fish are up against the bank. You don't need to be out there. Let's move real quick before we run out of time to the Big Thompson. What's going on over there?
That's been fishing really good too. So we've seen the flows above Lake Estes come up, and then even the flows below Lake Estes at the tailwater, they're starting to increase the flows out of there too. So between employees and our customers and our guides, we've been going over there and we've been fishing that, and I mean, it's been stellar, and the fish are very healthy over there. And I don't know if there's a lot of people out there that fish the Big Thompson. It's a little bit shorter of a canyon, so it's a little bit harder to find access on a weekend or something like that. But, I mean, those fish out of there, I mean, high-quality rainbows, and there's some browns in there, and they just, some days they'll be eating really small little brassies in, like, a size 22, and some days they're really looking up for big meals off the surface. And so it's been fishing really good over there. I'm excited to get up into kind of above Lake Estes and fish over there. There's some good little creeks and streams and tributaries that run in, and it's really fun up there.
Well, it really is. You get up especially near or up to the park, or even just below the park, and you know, I have, since the flood, it's been what, about 8-9 years that Big Thompson has really bounced back. The whole entire stretch really fishes well. Real quick, you know, there's some people who aren't going to want to fight the increased flows, even in the tailwaters, but you're pretty avid about, hey, this is a great time to try some stillwater fishing, right?
Oh, stillwater and warm water fishing is, like, for me, it's hard to find what I really want to do on my days off, because there's so many options along the Front Range. Whether you do want to go up into high alpine stillwater fishing, that's going to start getting really good here in a couple of weeks, or even just like poking around in some of your local areas and neighborhoods to see if there's ponds that hold smallmouth and carp. And it's really fun this time of year to be able to kind of get out there and spend some of your days in the city doing that. So, but yeah, I mean, stillwater fishing has been great. We have some lakes up here in northern Colorado, like the Delaney Buttes, or even just some of the high alpine lakes up in Rocky Mountain National Park. And I mean, up there, when the flows are high or when it's super warm down in the lower elevation stuff, like Fort Collins or, say, the Big Thompson Canyon, it's nice to be able to get away from all of that and go up into some of the secluded destinations and have cool, you know, 70-degree days and just be up there throwing dry flies to little fish, and sometimes even big fish on some of these lakes. So it's a blast, yeah. And go ahead.
No, I would say we're almost out of time, but I think the one drawback to stillwater fishing, I love stillwater fishing, is that a lot of fly anglers are used to using the river to tell them where the fish are located and then using the river to make their presentation. And on a stillwater presentation, you have to kind of figure out where the fish are. You have to understand fish movement and structure a little bit. And then sometimes you can fish a still under an indicator or even on the surface. And sometimes you have to bring it life. And I think fly anglers get a little intimidated with still water, don't you?
Sometimes, yes. And that whole kind of aspect of fly fishing was something that I didn't really put a lot of time into. And just till recently, just because I see how effective it is. But I think for anglers, it's hard to channel your patience and sit there and constantly be making those tiny adjustments. And that's just something that comes with stillwater fishing. A lot of the times when you first get there and you start rigging everything up, a lot of it's just going to be experimenting with depths under your indicator and inching everything down a little bit until you find where those fish are. And oftentimes what I'll do is I'll first start out with stripping leeches just to see if there's any fish interested in taking something moving before I will try to start experimenting with an indicator rig. So when you take the time and you break it down and you just really let your flies sit out in the water as long as possible, even if you're fishing a dry fly, just making sure that you're letting those flies stay in front of those fish, that's when I really noticed my success rates start going up. And I was catching more fish and being able to sift through the smaller fish to get to some of those bigger fish. So, yeah, letting your flies stay out there, that's the big key, I think.
Vince, we are out of time. If people want more information, how do they find you guys at St. Pete's?
Oh, man, we're always active, very active on social media. We have tons of events and classes that we run all through the summer. We have a free high water presentation at our South store next week. So you can even call to sign up for that, and that's going to be in the classroom over there. We're just very active in the community, so keep an eye out. Well, go ahead.
Just look for St. Peter's Fly Shop.
That's right, yeah. You can go to website, stpetes.com, and then St. Peter's on Instagram.
All right, my friend, we have to run, but great segment, Vince. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no problem, Terry. Glad to chat with you guys.
All right, that's Vince Rero.